The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Unlimited broadband so you can download, upload and stream as much as you like.
Let's talk to Mary Concannon. Good morning to you, Mary.
Morning, Ryan. How you doing?
An Irish woman living in?
Bournemouth.
Oh, God help you.
I know.
Where are you from originally?
You obviously heard.
I saw. We'll talk about it. Where are you from originally, Mary?
From Galway.
And you're doing what in Bournemouth?
So I work for a private health insurance company at the moment, but I'll be doing my nursing degree in September.
Are you coming late to nursing or?
Yeah, it's something I've wanted to do for a few years, but just needed to get sort of finances and everything else in order first.
Oh, congratulations. So when do you start your studies?
September.
Well, the best of luck with that. And you got in touch with us. Why?
I was just having an event, really, but having listened to you on Monday, you were saying, you know, that how things at home were kind of okay and people were adhering as much as they can.
Yeah.
But here just there's a sense of carnage, you know, definitely.
And when you say here, are you talking about the UK or Bournemouth?
Yeah, because we had a major incident declared in Bournemouth last week.
Yeah.
Where about approximately 500,000 people arrived in Bournemouth to use the beach.
I saw it.
Which is a hell of a lot of people.
It really is. Will you explain to me how 500,000 people are accommodated on the beach? Are the beaches in Bournemouth very long and enormous?
Yeah, so there's 7 miles of coast,
right.
But a lot of people would have gone from the train station to one central area at Bournemouth. The public toilets weren't open. There was only a handful of shops at the time open as well. So really, they didn't have the infrastructure to deal with this amount of people. Mm. And literally carnage, to be honest with you.
I also got the sense watching it, at one stage the mayor was on and looking all very summery and all, but I got the sense there were no adults in the room to tell them all to
get out of it. Yeah. No, no adults at all. And I think, you know, if it was to happen again, local governments still don't have powers to shut down the beach.
Mm.
So, you know, we do get fairly good weather here in Bournemouth, and should it happen again, I think there will be a repeat, you know, because people are not considering the consequences.
But who's
and
in charge?
And when they drive from...
You know, the question is who's in charge? We have a problem here in this country in some ways about who's in charge of who should say, yeah, go to that hotspot in Europe. It's fine. We'll take our chances. Why doesn't somebody step up and say no and no and no? And therefore, we don't go to Bournemouth Beach with another 500,000 people causing, as you call it, carnage.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think places like Wales that still have the, 5 mile or something like that rule in place, you know. So people know that you can't drive from Middlesbrough or Birmingham or London because it's outside of the 5 mile radius. I think you had that back home as well. But there wasn't that in place here. So you had people, because they interviewed them on BBC Breakfast the next morning, people are that evening at the beach at 9 p.m. Where have you come from? We've come from Middlesbrough with our kids. Oh, we didn't realise it would be so busy, but we stayed, you know. Then we went back on the motorway with our buckets and spades and basically left our more than footprints, you know, behind us. So, yeah, it was pretty messy, very messy.
I remember watching and thinking, do any of these people watch the news? Do any of these
Absolutely,
people see
yeah.
the coverage of people hanging on to life by a thread on a ventilator?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of it has to do with education as well and people burying their heads in the sand. So the people who buried their heads in the sand are the people who don't really want to face reality.
Yeah. And then they give out to people for saying, please don't do that because they think you're being bossy. But actually, you're just trying to protect a country's health.
But to have 500,000 people, you know, descend on what is essentially a town with a population of about 187,000.
And you live there?
I do. I've lived here for 10 years,
So when you looked out, or at least if you saw it physically or on the news, what did you think when you saw all these people?
Initially, I was disgusted. Then I was angry. And then I was a bit fascinated by their stupidity. I was a bit like, wow, like, you know, because I was listening to your show as well. And on Monday you were saying how you kind of have things in order a little bit in Ireland, as much as you can. I know there's a lot less population in Ireland compared to the UK, but you were saying that things were kind of in hand. And I was really proud and I was really happy to hear that because I've got parents in Galway, you know.
I just think people here seem to be very respectful of each other in a way that is really heartening.
Yeah. And I think, you know, after I do my nursing degree, I'm really going to have to evaluate if I want to be here. Do I want to grow old in a country that, you know, there will be another pandemic? There, of course there will be. But do I want to be in a society that has such a lack of respect for one another? I don't know if I want to be
Among that. Yeah, you're describing Johnson's Britain, really. And, you know, you had the Dominic Cummings fiasco at the height of the pandemic.
Yeah, and misinformation. I mean, the fact that the racing went ahead in Leicester, 2 days ago, behind closed doors. But what kind of message does that send out to the people of Leicester?
Well, we have to be so careful because I heard from one person who knows a lot about this pandemic thing saying that Dublin is in danger of becoming our very own Leicester if we're not careful.
Absolutely. I mean, Barnsley was in the news as well. I think they've got like something like a 65 point something rate of people per 100,000. So that would be the next one, maybe for a lockdown over here.
It's tricky.
Predominantly a lot of the cities up north, you know.
Of course. I heard Evelyn O'Rourke here did an excellent vox pop at Dublin Airport yesterday. And it was all Dubs heading off, some of them going to Amsterdam for the crack.
I heard
that, and it was really insightful because you kind of got a sense of, you know, what's an essential journey, and
I think this has hit the economy a lot harder than post Celtic Tiger.
Yep.
Local economies need our money now. You know, the couple of hundred euros or 1,000 euros that you'd spend in Italy or Switzerland or wherever, why not pump that back into the economy at home?
Exactly, Mary, you're singing my song. And that's what it's all about. The British have extraordinary respect, from what I see. When I watch Gogglebox, I get into the living rooms of ordinary, decent British citizens. And they seem to have a great respect every time mention is made of the National Health Service, the NHS. Do you feel the same way?
Absolutely. And this is one of the reasons I wanted to get into nursing over here. I know a little bit about the NHS, how it was created after World War II. You know, Sir William Bevan, a Welshman.
Okay.
He was commissioned by Churchill's government to create the National Health Service, to the basics, basically, give people hearing, glasses, look after their teeth, build a bit of confidence after World War II. But I think, obviously, as time goes on, that's changed a lot. With the more the economy is going to get hit over here, there'll be less tax. The NHS really relies on taxpayers' funds. There'll be a lot less money in the NHS, and I think a second wave will definitely hit us hard over here, and it is inevitable.
Yeah, you see it that way. Can I ask you a rude question? How old are you?
I'm nearly 40.
And now you're going to embark on a career as a nurse. Is that the dream? Is there a particular reason why nursing?
I think it's just something I've always wanted to do. I've been a volunteer as well over here with a couple of different charities.
Okay.
And I've always had a strong affiliation with, I was pretty much brought up by my grandparents in Galway. So, you know, I've always had a great respect for the elderly, and it's kind of an area I want to specialise in after I graduate.
And what part of Galway are we talking about, Mary?
Clare, Galway.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. And how did you end up being brought up by your grandparents?
Basically, where I grew up, we have a lot of the family around, and my grandparents lived across the road from me, so I spent a lot of my time in there, and, you know, just, great respect for them.
So you'll understand more than most how children must feel getting to hug their grandparents for the first time this week.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but you still have to be so careful. I mean, you know, you just have to be so careful. I don't understand why people feel the need to go to Portugal and Spain and Italy, you know, which was the epicentre of all of this only 4 months ago. What is the rush? Why are people rushing to go abroad?
Because they'll argue they're going mad. Yeah, go on.
That's the problem, isn't it? Bringing it back in, you know?
Yeah.
You guys have things in hand. Why is everyone willing to undo all the hard work?
I think that's what I was saying earlier on about the adult in the room. This is where, you know, our adult, Dr. Houlihan, is saying, please don't do it. But we probably needs to be backed up by a bit of political heft to say, you can't do it.
It does seem like he sent, because I just from listening to your radio station, there is a strong message being sent out, but
it's not backed up, unfortunately, by action. And not yet, anyway, but until they say, you just can't do that, and that's the end of it. And as you say, plough the money if you have it, back
Absolutely.
Into the local economy
yeah.
and keep the place safe. As I say, less Texas, more New Zealand.
Yes. Yes.
Will you practice nursing in the UK now, Mary? Or you sound doubtful.
I'm very doubtful. I mean, a lot of my doubt was when the whole Brexit negotiations started. And, you know, for me, I sort of lost a bit of faith in what was happening over here. So I had already started thinking about coming back home. But I think this has definitely reaffirmed my decision.
Time to get back to Galway or thereabouts at some point.
Possibly.
Anne in Dublin says, much as I want to agree with you and your guest regarding our beloved country, let's not forget Seapoint Beach in Dublin, among others, a replica of Bournemouth. I too am more than nervous. Yeah, that's a fair point. Once the sun came beating down, those beaches that you mentioned were jammed, but not quite 500,000 people, though. I think a bit of
the thing is, like, we had a major incident declared, you know, so a major incident is quite a big deal. But the fact that the major incident was declared, still nothing was done.
Yeah,
you know, they kept coming. So yeah.
Well, another text says, if you think we are being responsible, come to Rosslare. Hordes coming on the train, partying on the beach, and no social distance. So I suppose the couple of people there warning us not to be too complacent or self congratulatory, because it's not all good. But that's fair enough, and I'm happily accept that point. Mary, I wish you well in your studies and in your decisions. You're at a crossroads there, by the sounds of things. So I hope you come home, and I hope you're happy in what you do.
Thank you very much.
Very
Thank
nice
you.
To talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye for now. That's Mary Concannon joining us live from Bournemouth. Very interesting insight into life there, and indeed where she wants to go with it all.